Well, as I was, I've been working this week. God had put in, after last week, and we were talking about don't be weary, you know, and to keep going, keep on keeping on was the title of the message. So I guess this could be keep on keeping on part two, but that's not the title of my message. The title of my message is focus your focus. Focus your focus. And I thought that as I studied this out this week and really leaned into the Word, and then what happened yesterday, and the Holy Spirit's like, you were preparing for this. Focus your focus. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. What are you focused on? What are you focused on? What happened yesterday? Are you focused on that? Are you focused on the Word of God? Amen, because that's what we came to church for. We came to learn about what, see, God has to say this morning. And we're going to talk about, and yes, it may get drug into it. If the Holy Spirit so sees fit for me to bring it in, it's bringing in, okay? But when I started working on this, that hadn't happened yet. But I can tell y'all on the lighter side that on Thursday, me and Dad, y'all know me and Dad play golf. We were playing golf Thursday. It was not pretty. John, it was not pretty. I hit the ball good once, and I'd hit it bad a couple of times. And I'd hit it bad once, and I'd hit it good a couple of times. I got to the 18th hole, and I told Dad, I hit a beautiful drive right down the middle of the fairway. I'm like, yeah, finally, last hole. Get up there. Man, I'm not even 80 yards in. I have my wedge out. Little, for those of you who don't play golf, it's the rest of y'all can pay attention, but no. But it's not a long shot. It should be a fairly easy shot at 80 yards. I hit this far underneath the ball. I never do that. I never do that. And I told Dad, I said, I guess this is the Holy Spirit is really working on me this morning because I had no focus. I had no focus on my golf game. There was nothing there. And I thought, I told Dad, I said, yeah, this is real funny. This is what I'm preaching on Sunday. I can't even focus on the golf course. I thought about everything but what I was out there supposed to be enjoying. And I realized as I thought about how it compares to our walk with God, is that for 3 weeks I hadn't hit a golf ball. I hadn't hit a practice shot, one. And we usually hit practice balls. Dad been hitting some, but I hadn't. We hadn't played in 3 weeks. I hadn't hit a practice ball in 3 weeks. So I went out expecting a result that didn't happen because my focus for 3 weeks or my practice was not on my golf game. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Yeah. So as we walk with God, where's your focus at? Is your focus on a daily walk? And then as those expectations of things that you need to come to pass in your life, are those things coming to pass? Or if you're not walking with God every day, then your results are going to be much like my 50-degree wedge on the 18th hole. You're going to hit it deep in the ground when you didn't need to. Amen? Because you're not staying focused. With the dictionary, I look focus up, and it says it defines focus as a central point, the attention, the ability. Oh, here's this is good. Y'all listen to this. You might want to write this down. The ability to concentrate one's attention. Everybody say concentrate. That's right. The ability to concentrate. So I looked in the Bible, and guess where I looked? Philippians 4:8. Man, you're good. See, look at you. Y'all turn to Philippians 4:8. Praise you, God. See, isn't God such a fun God? We can laugh about that. It doesn't. Man, we've got to be able to laugh at ourselves. If you get so serious about life and about yourself, that's when we mess up. That's when our focus is taken off of where our focus needs to be. Amen? Philippians 4:8. Say amen if you're there. Say, oh my, if you're not. Okay, that's all right. I'm not there either. Oh, there I am. That's just one page off. Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Ooh, hallelujah. See, what happens when we start thinking on the junk and the mumbledy-jumbledy junk, that's what happens to our life. That's where we get off. You've heard of people talking about getting that one tire off in the ditch. That's what happens when we take our mind off of those things that aren't good, that aren't of virtue. But I want you to hear it in the Passion. Philippians 4:8 in the Passion, because I love the way it says it. So keep your thoughts continually. Everybody say continually. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic, real, honorable, and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God. Amen. So when we are thinking the right thoughts, when we are thinking about the right things, we don't get off course, or when something like that happens yesterday, our thoughts don't get off in the ditch. Amen. We know that, as Pastor Rusty says, that we are here for this appointed time. Amen. Because He knows that we are capable of handling what's going on at this time and handling it the right way. Yes, do we want to do a throat chop like my wife talks about at times? Absolutely, some of us do. But that's not the way we're supposed to handle it. No. See, we stay the course on praying for our government. We pray for President Trump. We pray for our country. We pray for our country to humble themselves, to humble ourselves. He will heal our land. Blake and I were talking about that scripture before we came on stage. He said, I've been thinking about that all week. I said, me too. See, it's time that we start taking back what we're supposed to do. Amen? See, sometimes we get one tire off in the ditch. Some of us sometimes get two tires off in the ditch. Just a little harder to get back up on the road, but we do. We do. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That prove means to test, to make sure that if we're transforming our mind by the Word of God, then we will know when things like yesterday happens, what is the right thing. Amen? Come on, some of y'all are going to have to love me on this. I know you're mad, but that's okay. Get over it. It's time for us to step up and do the right thing. Amen? So what I want y'all to do is I want you to find Acts 16. Acts 16, we're going to start in verse 16, I believe. I hear pages turning still. That's all right. I'll wait till they're through. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Acts 16. We're going to start in verse 16. And it said, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto this way of salvation. And this did she many days. She did it more than one day. She's doing it many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. neither to observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So we're going to stop right there. So let's go back up to verse 16. Verse 16, that divination means that that spirit that was in her was claiming to be a fortune teller, to be able to tell the future and show things. So she was spouting off about Paul and Silas, saying, these are the ones that are preaching of God and salvation. But what's, I guess it made me laugh several times every time I read this, really. Because don't you know it ticked her bosses off when Paul said, I command thee to come out of there. There went their money. They were making a lot of money off her because she was fortune telling for them. And when Paul commanded that spirit to come out, it did. Praise God. So in this section of verses right here, Paul and Silas got thrown into prison. And it says that they got thrown into prison and then they were given to the prison guard who threw them in the innermost part of the prison. Now, back in that time, the innermost part of the prison was dark. It was dark. They were shackled by their feet. And I don't know about y'all, but they were beaten. And they were bloody. It was about midnight when they'd been put in there. And they were in the dark. Can you put yourself there? Have you ever been in a place that was dark in your life? Because I'm sure all of us have had a situation or whatever, whether it's literal darkness or not. These guys are in this place, in this prison, that were put in there unjustly. Right? Well, I don't know. But the tendency for a normal person would be to start thinking about myself. Man. What do I do? What's happened? What's happened? They would start whining and complaining. Be focused on the unfairness of the situation. Poor pitiful me. This is unfair that I got thrown into jail. Part of us could be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by being in that dark situation. What would you focus on? What would you focus on? Paul and Silas, they had a different focus though, didn't they? Because it said about midnight, they started praying and praising God. Y'all, they started praising God in the darkness. They're in the darkness. When most people get in the dark, what happens? They become like this. Oh my gosh, what has happened? This is the worst time for a person, a lot of times when you're in the darkness. It's real easy. And I told y'all that as we go along, if the Holy Spirit does move me, it's real easy like 6 years ago, how good things were going. It was all easy to praise God, wasn't it? Hallelujah, look at some of y'all going, yeah. It was, wasn't it? Woo, glory. But now, some of us are like, oh my Lord, are we still praising God? Are we still praising God with the enthusiasm, with the fierceness that we did when it was good? Yeah. Because when it's not good, is when it's not easy. When it's not good, it's easy to whine and complain and think of, oh, me. Look what's happened to me. See, it's easy when we're, man, everything's going and it's gold. You've heard that term, it's golden. You know? Man, it's golden. That's golden, baby. Yeah, everything's golden. How are you today? Blessed and it's golden. Yeah. But when it's not golden, I guess when we could say it's copper. Thank y'all. Some of y'all, come on, y'all. Y'all get fired up. This is a good message. Man, we got to focus. We got to refocus our focus. Because we get off the track. We get off of seeing what God's goodness is. The goodness of God. That's why the Holy Spirit had us do that song again. Because we tend to not see the goodness of God every day. The goodness of God is that He missed yesterday. Amen? That's the goodness of God. Oh yeah, going to clap now, yeah. Because our focus should be on the goodness of God. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. See, we got to stop looking at the problem. We got to focus on God and quit looking at the problem. Because whatever you look at, if you don't like it, you'll find everything wrong with it. Have y'all ever noticed that? Yeah. And if you like something, then you'll find everything good. And you won't see the junk. I mean, because I think like, I like salted caramel brownie bluebell ice cream. And I can tell you the goodness in that ice cream. Everything about it is good. The caramel, the ice cream, those big old hunks of brownie. Ooh, man. I can tell you everything good about that. Yeah, I can. I can probably tell you everything bad about the A&W frosted root beer ice cream. Because I don't like it. But you see that we have to learn, where is your focus? We have to focus on what God says, not what we want to focus on. So the first thing I want you to get this morning, focus on God's redemptive power. Focus on God's redemptive power. See, during this time, when they were in that prison, they had a choice, right? And we talked about that last week. Is that all throughout the Bible, we have choices. Because it's life. You have a choice in life. You'll have a choice in just a few minutes. You have a choice in just a few minutes of what I'm going to eat. Some of you probably already thinking about that for lunch. But that's okay. That's a choice. But in this time, Paul and Silas had a choice. They're in the dark. They're shackled. They're bloody. They've had their clothes ripped off of them. And they can either start complaining and whining, right? Or they can have a worshiping spirit. Amen. And what did they start doing at midnight? They started worshiping. And it says that the prisoners heard them. Amen. See, worship restores equilibrium. It restores you back to gets you back. When you get so far over here and you put some praise music on, or you just start praising God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And you say, thank you, Lord, over. Thank you, Lord, over. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father. Hallelujah. When you start doing that, you start forgetting about being in a prison in the dark. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you think you're suffering through, if you'll start praising and you'll start worshiping, it restores your equilibrium. Amen? God's power is shown in our weakness. When we are like Paul and Silas, when we're in that sort of problem, and we start praising and worshiping God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. They were praising God, and verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake and unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. When he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Look what happened when they started praising and worshiping. It will shake your world. It will shake my world. When I start getting down and I start praising and I start worshiping God, my world starts shaking. It starts shaking things up and going, yes, we're going to get back to where we need to be. I don't lay there and whine and moan about what's going on. Right? Okay. I need to tell y'all something. I have to confess. This morning, Laurie and I are getting ready. And she's getting in the shower. And she goes to open the shower door. And it sticks. Stuck. Won't shut. Won't open. So I go in there, and I'd been struggling with it for a little while. And she said, "I'll just take a bath." I said, "No, give me a few minutes." I get in there, and I start putting it, you know, it's one of those double sliding doors. And it's solid glass. And I'm trying to put it back up on the track, and guess what? Whoop, it just fell. It didn't break. Praise God. It didn't break. And I'm like, what in the world? You know, and as Pastor Corey says, the Tabasco, you know, it's Sunday, you're preaching, you can't, you know, calm. And I'm like, I'm looking at that, and a screw falls out of the track. I'm like, what the heck? And one of the rollers is missing. And so I'm looking up in the track, well, the other roller stuck up in there. The screw came out, the roller stuck. Now, my focus really wanted to be hateful this morning. At 5:45 in the morning, I'd already had a cup of coffee. I was doing pretty good. I'd already studied a while. And that dadgum shower door did not want to cooperate. But see, I had a choice. And we were listening to praise music, thank God. Because it helped. Believe me, it helped. So what did we do? Laurie went and started cooking breakfast. And Ricky started trying. And Ricky, you know, I tell Laurie this because my dad's a handyman. Now that man's like MacGyver. He can fix anything. I'm serious. He can. Ricky, not so much. He plays the fiddle. My wife says, "You're more of a handyman than you want people to know." I said, "Well, if they know too much, you have to do more." So I'm trying to figure that out. I finally get it figured out, put it on. Sucker works better than it did before. Praise God. That's right. But at that point, and y'all go, "Well, what's the point of the story?" The point of the story is my focus had a chance to move off of God. You see, I was preparing to preach this morning, and I was in the Word, and I'd been listening to praise music, and at that very moment, when that door decided to go boom, I had a choice. Did my focus go to the left? No, it went this way. Yes, it wanted to. Betsy, I can tell you I wanted, But it was glass, you know? So what, when life comes at you, like it did Paul and Silas, and you don't know what to do, do what they did at midnight. Start praying and praising. My Lord, That's what we're taught here, y'all. Start worshiping God. Start singing praise songs. It fills you up. It fires you up. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Who strengthens me? Shall strengthen me. Will strengthen me. Did strengthen me. If I'm walking in His path. But are you willing to walk in His path? Come on, get your focus on. Hey, let's change the title of this. Just get your focus on. Got a little more snap to it. See, because some of us this morning are going, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know which word I want to focus on. The Word of God. Because then everything else lines up, y'all. I'm telling y'all. Everything lines up with the Word of God. Here's the second thing I want y'all to get. Focus on what's right. Paul and Silas, while they were in prison when this happened, they had a choice to go, this isn't fair. Well, there's a lot of things. You've heard that old saying, life's not fair. No, in the Bible, I don't remember, and if it's in there, then you know somebody will tell me. I don't remember saying life is fair in the Bible. But I will tell you this. They did what was right. See, when we stop and think about getting thrown into a prison just because we do what we do, it's unfair. The Holy Spirit showed me this a while ago. What happened yesterday was not fair, right? I mean, that's my opinion. What happened yesterday was not fair. So some people might say, well, oh, it's fair if we retaliate and do something else. Does that make it right? Absolutely. You see, we learn to do what the Word of God says, and we stand up. God tells us that it's His fight. If we're walking in the Word, we're praying to God for Him to take vengeance. God says vengeance is His, not ours. I just know that some of us want it happen sooner than later, right? Absolutely. But just because you and I want it doesn't mean it's going to happen sooner. It's going to happen in God's timing and not ours. Amen? But it has to be right. So we have to understand that just because we don't think it's fair, or it's fair, or it's not fair, we got to learn that it's for what's right. See, Paul and Silas, that when that earthquake happened and those shackles came off and the door fell open, I don't know, but I'd probably run. I don't know about y'all. But would that have been the right thing to do? Some of us might could spin that to where that would have been the right thing to do. You know, like, well, yeah, I can make that work. We can make that work. But you see, it wasn't the right thing to do. Was it fair? I don't know. Man, because what's fair to one person might not. It's like horse trading. You know, this horse may be worth $10,000 to one person, but $5,000 to another. So what one person thinks is fair may not be fair to somebody else. But what's right? See? When you get that in your heart, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what God's called me to be? Pastor Corey's words, do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you know what you would have done in that very situation. See, it's easy to sit here and we look and we talk about it. But Paul and Silas did that for that jailer. They stayed for that jailer. Just like Jesus died on that cross for us so that we don't have to go through all that junk. We're given the authority if we use Jesus' name. Well, y'all, I don't know about y'all, but I can't think of a better time to start using Jesus' name a lot. Amen? It's just what Pastor Corey put on Facebook yesterday. I plead the blood of Jesus over President Trump. Amen? Why don't we start using that authority that we are given when we pray for our country? Y'all, Because that's what works. Showed it worked yesterday. Amen? So, do you choose to look at that as a bad thing yesterday? It's not a good thing that somebody was tried to assassinate President Trump. Don't get me wrong. But the goodness of God is, he walked out and down them stairs. That's the goodness of God. See, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you saying that's unfair? Are you saying that because of the people that have been praying and praying and praying for our government and praying for Donald Trump and what happened? He walked down those stairs, y'all. There is power in the name of Jesus. And when we learn how to use that power in the name of Jesus, then your life will start turning around. See, when you're in that dark place like an inner prison and you don't know what to do, you start worshiping and calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. Whoo, hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:19 says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering, and wrongfully." It's thankworthy. And if you look thankworthy up in the Amplified, it says, finds favor. So when we're doing things for God and we feel like we're treated unjustly, remember this scripture right here, 1 Peter 2:19. "For this is thankworthy that we endure what we endure when we're trying to spread the word of Jesus." Amen? Verse 35. "And when it was day, the magistrates sent their sergeants, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.' But Paul said unto them, 'They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out.' And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans." Uh-oh, magistrates messed up. They thought they were Jews and they were Romans. "And they came out and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." Y'all, the third thing that I want y'all to see here is focus on others. When we take the focus off of us, see, Paul right here could have just left, right? I mean, they told him, "Get out of here." And he goes, "No, no, no, no." He wanted other people to see that they were being the way they were done, that they were being released openly and in the right way. The key, right way. Amen? And so he was focusing on others by making this stand. No, no, no. You're not going to just sweep this under the rug and say, "Oh, we messed up. Hurry up, get out of here. Nobody will see. Y'all run. We put Romans in prison and blah, 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 and we, But Paul says, no. Everybody needs to see. Everybody needs to see so that they know what it's supposed, what's right. Amen? Now, after that, he goes to the house of Lydia. He doesn't leave town. He's like, "No, I'm going to go back to these people that were worried about us, that had been praying for us." He went back and it says that he encouraged them and he comforted them. Yo, he'd just been in prison, shackled, beaten, and naked. Y'all like how I said, naked? I think there's two A's in that one. But can you imagine that that was you in that prison, and that you just got released, and you went, you didn't leave town? He didn't hook them. Mm-mm. He said, "No, no, no, we're going to go over here, and we're going to comfort these people that were worried about us, and love on them." See, when we start focusing on others, it takes us out of where we were. Everybody understand that? It takes us out of where we were. John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man that lay down his life for his friends. When you focus on others, that's greater love. Whew, hallelujah. Focus makes all the difference, y'all. It makes a difference. What are you focused on today? Are you focused on the Word of God? Or are you focused on the junk that's going on in the world? We're not supposed to be blind by any means about what's going on in the world. No. But are we going to let it so that we take it off where we're supposed to be focused on? Amen? See, are you going to let your focus be so drawn away that that's all that consumes you? I know a guy that's probably sat in front of his TV all last night, and that's all. Is that what's going to consume you? Are you going to be consumed by the Word of God? The way, the truth, and the life. The light that shines, that's supposed to shine in us when we walk in the world, and that when something like that happens, we know what to do. We know what to say. We know what to pray. We know how to stand up for our country and for what's right, y'all. Focus your focus on the right thing. Focus on the redemptive power of God. Amen. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I love the way the Amplified says it. It says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on things above heavenly things. See, it says, set your mind and keep focused. Keep. Y'all, is that an action verb? Wait, is that an action verb? It is, thank you. I had to ask my wife. Well, I didn't want to be wrong. You know, I mean, I don't like to say the wrong thing if I can help it. It doesn't say if you want to, you know. It says keep focused. And it's an act of doing. It doesn't say do it one time. Well, just focus for a minute and then be done. See, as we walk and we keep focused on God's Word, everything else settles. When we praise and worship, everything settles. I'm closing. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting, everybody say forgetting. Forgetting, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Y'all, we got to start reaching for that prize. We got to focus on that prize. Amen? Focus on that prize. We never do a service without giving somebody a chance to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And right now we're going to know that we have that focus, that we can focus. And if you haven't had Jesus to focus on, we want you to make today your day. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to say a prayer out loud. And believers, say it with us. Because you need to be able to lead people in your circle to the Lord. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus, we want you to say this prayer out loud, and believers are going to say it with you. Say it out of your mouth and mean it. One, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe that you died on that cross, and that you rose from the dead. Father, today is my new focus day. I focus on you, Jesus. And I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, real fast, if that was you that just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want you to just stick your hand up real quick on the count of three. We're going to get you a Bible, and you can put it right back down. There's a card in there. You can fill out and put it in one of the offering buckets afterward. On the count of three, if you just accepted Jesus today, get that hand up. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Everybody look up. Amen. We're all saved. We're all going to heaven. Amen. That's a party right there. That's a party. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Y'all look serious this morning. I mean, it's okay to be serious, but we got God's work to do, y'all. So how are you going to do God's work? It's up to all of us. It's up to all of us to spread the word. Amen. Man, I had fun. Thank y'all so much for letting me minister this morning.